Well, good morning, everyone, on this special day, this Easter morning. It's lovely to begin the day in your company. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you, and also with you. Risen Lord Jesus, breaking forth from the tomb, breaking the power of death, breaking new ground where faith will flourish, we greet you with joy and jubilation on this Easter day. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. Lord Jesus, we ask your forgiveness for when we have failed to perceive the power in your story. Even the Easter story has become so familiar to us that we fail to feel the immense impact of it. The stone rolled away, the ground itself shaking beneath us, a crucified man defeating death itself. Today, Lord, we seek to follow in the footsteps of the women who witnessed your resurrection, to hear and see and feel as they did, so that we can truly proclaim your groundbreaking gospel. Amen. Heavenly Father, you did not spare your only Son, but gave him up to death on the cross, so that in his resurrection, we might be delivered from our sins and from death itself. How great is the forgiveness of such a loving Father. Amen. And Dawn's got our first reading for us.
First reading is from Acts 10, starting at verse 34. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to
Eat.
God.
And our psalm this morning, a verse is taken from Psalm 118, which we can say together. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. And Dawn's got our second reading for us.
Our second reading comes from Matthew 28, starting at verse 1. Jesus has risen. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, where they will see me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
There are certain days that I will always remember. They seem to hang around in my emotional memory. I clearly remember watching the Soviet tanks driving into Czechoslovakia on our little black and white television. I remember staying up late, or was it getting up early, to see the Apollo moon landing. And then there have been the more recent things, the day the Queen died. And of course, the happier events, receiving news of each of our grandchildren's birth. Who cares whether it's in the middle of the night? We just wanted to know, and we wanted photographs. Red letter days, every one of them. With each of these events, good or bad, you know that something is going to change forever. A whole new world is about to open up. Or, as Matthew writes in Matthew chapter 28, a new day was dawning. Matthew tells us that as the new day was dawning, two women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, went to visit Jesus' tomb. Of the small group of women who stood by Jesus and watched him dying in agony on the cross, only Mary Magdalene and the other Mary are consistently named in the first three Gospels as observing where Jesus was buried and as coming again on the Sunday to see the tomb. I wonder how they felt. A mixture of emotions, I should imagine. Fear, grief, confusion. After all, the events surrounding Jesus' death were pretty terrifying, according to Matthew. The temple curtain ripped from top to bottom, the earth shook, the sky turned black, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. There is absolutely no doubt that Matthew wants to let his readers and listeners know the significance of Jesus' death. Everything that takes place is there to reinforce the importance of what is happening. This is no ordinary moment. This is a moment of revelation. Something has changed forever. Jesus' death marks the moment in history between the old and the new, life and death on this earth, with the promise of resurrection life yet to come. Matthew wants us to know that God is doing something phenomenal in the world, and that this is definitely a new day dawning. And as the day dawns, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary arrive at the tomb. Mark and Luke tell us that they bring spices to wrap the body in the customary way. But Matthew tells us that they have simply come. Maybe they had simply come to mourn, or simply to be there near Jesus, and no doubt to comfort one another in their sorrow and grief. But given the fact that according to Matthew, the tomb was sealed and under Roman guard, it does beg a question. What did the women actually think they were going to see? They probably wanted peace and quiet, some time to collect their thoughts. But I found myself wondering, why did they go to the very place where Roman guards would be on duty? Their very presence would hardly be conducive for quiet reflection. Could it be that maybe, just maybe, the two Marys had an inkling that Jesus wasn't finished, that God was going to do something amazing? Maybe they remembered and dared to believe all the things that Jesus had taught them. Matthew's account of the resurrection is the most dramatic. There's an earthquake, an angel, guards that keel over backwards, and messages about Jesus. All of these are key pointers to the significance of what was happening. Firstly, the earthquake. For anyone who knew their Old Testament scriptures, any natural phenomena, lightning, wind, hail, earthquake, would have been a sign of divine supernatural activity and presence. God was active. He was present. The God who appeared to remain silent on Good Friday as Jesus hung on the cross and cried out, my God, why have you abandoned me?" That God had not forsaken anyone. He was present, he was active, and he would have the last word. This is not about God performing some spectacular miracle. This is about God doing something completely and utterly new, something that had been promised and foretold long, long ago. At this moment, a new age had begun. No wonder the two Marys and those first disciples were filled with wonder, incredulity, and fear. This was a day that they would remember and talk about forever. After the earthquake, an angel appeared. I love Matthew's description of this angel. This angel does not float around in the sky in sparkly elegance. This angel is fiercely, robust, feisty, and present. The angel comes down, rolls away the stone from the front of the grave, and then sits on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. No wonder the guards were shaking. The angel had been in the presence of God and reflected the glory of God. And the angel completely ignored the guards and spoke directly to the women. "Don't be afraid." The direct translation is, "You don't be afraid." The angel is speaking clearly to the women, telling them that they don't need to be afraid, but the guards have every right to be afraid. The women have been invited to be in the presence of God. They've been invited. They've been welcomed. They have nothing to fear. But the guards have no right to be in this hallowed, holy place. They should be afraid. The angel invites the women to come to the tomb and to see for themselves. He articulates the thing that they have been thinking. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. The angel knew that the women would need to see for themselves. Come and see, he says. Come and see. Those words of invitation for us again. Come and see. How many of us actually do that? How many of us go and see for ourselves? How many of us hear the invitation and politely decline or say, no, it's all right. I'm perfectly fine where I am. I can see all that I need to from here. I don't really need to look any further. If you have felt a prompting like that in your spirit, then this Easter we need to go and find out and see for ourselves. Throughout the Bible, we're encouraged to seek God with all our heart and to seek Him for ourselves. We're told to ask, seek, and knock. And we're told that if we do that, we will surely find. The women were invited into that holy place where the whole story of the inevitability of the finality of death was reversed and then immediately was sent on to proclaim a message to the other disciples. And now, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. And here's the irony. Jesus, who was dead and buried, has now become alive. And the guards, who were alive, now appear to be like dead men. The guards shook with fear when they saw the angel and they fell into a dead faint. In the very moment when resurrection life is revealed, the guards become still and lifeless, like corpses. How do we respond in the presence of the risen Jesus Christ? Are we devoid of feeling? Are we unresponsive? Or do we dance with joy because Jesus is alive and he gives us resurrection life? I'm dancing this Easter. The Lord is here. His spirit is with us. The women left to find the other disciples to tell them the good news, and on the way they meet Jesus. He reassures them and says that he will meet them in Galilee. We cannot meet Jesus in the same way those women did on that Sunday morning, but we believe that when we can meet Jesus in spirit and truth, that when we meet together to worship and to pray and to learn together, we get to know him and to learn from him. And because of the resurrection, we believe that one day we will live with him forever. Our faith is all about the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we prepared to allow ourselves to be open to the transforming resurrection life that God longs to give us, the God who brings the dead to life? Alleluia! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia! Over to you, Dawn.
Our intercessions today do have a response. I will say, shake your world. And the response is, shake your world with peace, hope, and love. Shake your world. Shake your world with peace, hope, and love. Lord God, our Father, you sent your Son for us. This Easter, we remember the story that shook the world, the earthquake, the stone rolling away from the grave, and the joy of a world shaken by the defeat of death and your Son coming back to life. We remember the hope that this amazing news gives us and the joy of knowing we can know and love you more through your Son. So we pray that you would shake us. We pray that you would make us into people with the energy and hope of those first followers of Jesus, seeing all chances to share your message of good news with others. Shake us so that we would desire to read your word, pray and listen to you, and become more like the disciples you call us to be. Wake us from being dead to the joy of Jesus saving us. Shake us, Lord. Shake the world. Shake your world with peace, hope, and love. Lord God, our Father, you sent your Son to bring peace. This Easter, we think of the world that Jesus lived in, with people fighting for power and claiming land that was not theirs. We think of those who realize that Jesus came to bring peace and offer a new way to live with others, and those who only saw chances to be selfish and cruel. So that we pray that you would shake our world. We pray for all leaders across the world who are supporting and encouraging conflict and war. We pray that you would shake their consciences and open their eyes to the pain and turmoil that they are causing. Shake all those who can speak to work even harder to save lives and stop the destruction that we see by encouraging talks, ceasefires, and peace. We continue to pray for Ukraine, all of the Middle East, Sudan, and so many other areas of war. Shake our world, Lord. Shake your world. Shake your world with peace, hope, and love. Lord God, our Father, you sent your Son to speak truth. This Easter, we think of those days before his death on the cross, when Jesus spoke truth to the powers in the temple, truth to the Roman and Jewish leaders, and truth to all those who would listen. Remember that even though through Jesus' death, people such as the Roman officer realized the truth of Jesus, true Son of God. Lord God, our Father, you sent your Son to show compassion. This Easter, we think of the compassion Jesus showed to those who were crucified alongside him and those close to him who he spoke to even when dying. We think of all his words of compassion and hope, his example of caring and healing, and his parables that show his care for people. So shake all your followers. We pray that we who claim to carry the name of your Son would also carry his behaviours with us. We pray that we would actively help the homeless, feed the hungry, support the weak, walk alongside those sad and ill, speak up for the forgotten or undervalued, and live lives that shout the good news of Jesus in all that we do. We remember all those facing higher bills and struggling to cope with price rises and fuel and food. And we remember especially those in our community, the sick, Steph, Jack, Mary, Derek, Anne, Brenda, Roy, Mary T, Elizabeth, Joy, Tony, Brian, Alison, Margaret R, Nigel, Audrey, Sharon, John P, John L, Richard, Kathy, Bob, and Oliver. And we remember the staff at Rackenford School, Tiverton High School, and Tiverton Hospital, and the family of friends of those who have recently died, Herbert Smith and Linda Taylor. Shake Christians out of our comfort and self-satisfaction to be children and adults to live out Jesus's compassion every day. Shake your people, Lord. Shake your world. Shake your world with peace, hope, and love. Amen.
And the collect for the day, Easter Sunday. God of glory, by the raising of your Son, you have broken the chains of death and hell. Fill your church with faith and hope, for a new day has dawned, and the way to life stands open in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Trusting in the compassion of God, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful, hopeful day. Thank you that you are alive and with us in all the celebrations and challenges of life. Go with us now to enjoy our celebrations and face any challenges ahead. May we share your good news and blessing with all those we meet this week. Amen. Thank you, my friends.
Thank you, Steph.
We've had a complete
Thank
change of
you.
weather in the last few
Thank you very
minutes.
much.
I think we've got sleet up here.
Oh
Have
no, my
you?
word.
Sun's
That's
still
incredible.
shining here.
Oh wow.
Anyway,
Oh, thank you, Steph. Thank you, Dawn.
yeah.
Thank you,
Thank you. Happy
everyone.
Easter.
Happy Easter,
See
everybody.
you
Happy
soon. Have a
Easter.
wonderful time.
Yeah.
Bye,
Have
Steph.
a
God
lovely,
bless.
enjoy your
Yeah.
lovely
Lovely
meals
meals
together
together
and your
everyone.
families.
Yes,
God bless.
bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.